This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Pitch Talk with Olivia Cox and Rachel Zanon.
Well, good afternoon. I was going to say good morning, but welcome to Pitch Talk. I'm Rachel. Olivia, how are you this fine day?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. Basking in the sunshine, I have to say. It's very, very warm. But we have got a really exciting show
what
coming up.
What is basking, by the way? Is basking when you literally bask in the sunshine?
Yeah, it's like you know how a beached whale or like a manatee or a seal, if you imagine in San Francisco on the pier down by the docks, all those basking seals.
Oh, those basking seals.
There you go. That's exactly what basking is. But if you are basking outside, then come inside and listen to Pitch Talk, because we have got the lovely Alice Rickard, who is a former. It says here she had a job as a trainer in finance, and then went into fitness. So good girl, very well done. We like that. And then we've also got Kristen W. I'm going to let her pronounce her surname. She has a YouTube channel with over 177,000 subscribers, and we're going to be picking both their brains about fitness and general influencer stuff and nutrition.
Very exciting.
And then, yeah, should we crack on with the sport headlines?
Shall we?
Shall we?
Let's crack on. Okay. Let's bask. Let's do that.
Okay, so F1, there's quite a lot of sport news coming through this morning, actually, for F1. So should we share it?
Yeah.
I don't want to hog it.
You don't want to hog. No, I'm trying to think of something witty to do with hog. I mean, should we start first of all with Mercedes? Well, we're looking forward to the Monaco Grand Prix. Mercedes expecting to be on the back foot against Red Bull and Ferrari. That's what team boss Toto Wolff says. Do you agree with this? I mean, Mercedes have struggled. Well, they struggled in Monaco last year. And Toto Wolff believes the slow, tight track may not suit their car again.
And they've been having a bit of an up and down, really, with Lewis Hamilton. But we were saying last week that actually he might have got his confidence back. He might be back on track, back up to form. But interesting for Toto Wolff to actually have come out and said that, actually. It seems pretty negative. Although I suppose, given their history at Monaco, perhaps justified.
He might be taking the pressure off Hamilton at the moment. It says here Red Bull are strong in slow corners and where straight line speed is less important. Our job is to maximise the car's potential, whatever that may be. I mean, Hamilton is 17 points clear of Ferrari's Vettel in the championship. I think they were either saying it to take the pressure off of Hamilton. Maybe Hamilton's confidence was actually dented, like you said.
Maybe Hamilton is having a bit of a midlife crisis.
Maybe he is. And maybe we're witnessing it right now.
Across the board. There's more chat coming through from Mercedes and Ferrari, who are to increase pressure on new F1 owners, Liberty Media. Now, of course, Liberty Media bought F1, so Tony Eccleston is no more the chairman. But one of his parting gifts to Liberty Media, as it were, was to say, listen, when Mercedes and Ferrari have an issue, listen to them. They're not calling your bluff. And one of the big things that they are kicking back against now are these potential plans to change how the ruling happens in F1, which means that there'll be prize money spread a little bit more evenly and also a cap on budgets, which would make it a little bit more accessible to the smaller teams. I think that's fair enough.
But I see a but coming, Olivia.
But
well, a huge F but.
The thing is, Ferrari is F1 and F1 is Ferrari. And if Ferrari moves away from the championship, I don't see...
And go to,
I mean, if they say they were to go to another championship, that would become the focal point. I mean, Ferrari is the pinnacle.
I mean...
So surely we have... Something needs to change. Who needs to bow down to who?
Something needs to change to make things a little bit more even. I mean, you look at teams like Sahara Force India, and they will never be that level of Ferrari and Mercedes because they don't have the financial backing. They don't have the same ways of, sorting the car out of, practice. So things do need to change. But, you don't want to make it all...
I mean, it's very PC and hand-holdy, but...
I don't know. Maybe
I mean, motorsport in and of itself, it is not a cheap sport. And yes, it is elitist, but isn't that kind of what we're buying into? The whole circus
the
of
glamour.
F1 and the
Look
whole
at Monaco.
Yeah.
It's
oh
why,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, she's
why,
in on that.
But that's why, we do love it. But I do think it, I mean, that's what's good about this year so far, is it doesn't seem to be a foregone conclusion. I think something needs to be trickled down to make it a little bit more even, maybe from the middle teams lower to make it more of a competition. But also it's quite interesting because some people are saying as well, with F1, should they use drivers more when discussing rule changes and planning circuit? Lewis Hamilton, planning circuit layouts. Hamilton recently suggested drivers should be consulted over track designs in the wake of the first layout emerging from the proposed Miami Grand Prix, which would be amazing. Vettel also called the circumstances surrounding F1's planned 2019 changes comical and wants the FIA to consult the racers themselves when it comes to trying to aid overtaking. What do you think? Do you think drivers have a right?
I mean, I do enjoy some of Vettel's comments because he is quite level-headed, and you have the feeling that he's one of the slightly not older generation, but he has come through where people like Max Verstappen are now. He's done the hot-headed, and he's come out the other side, and he has been really successful.
And it's very fair with what he says. He makes very good points, and he
can be humble. I mean, maybe a bit of a humble brag, but usually, yeah, he does seem around the right mark. But I don't know, I think drivers are paid to drive, and other people are paid to make the decisions. And I mean, yes, fine, they are in the best position to talk about the tracks, but they are also entirely biased.
I agree with you there, but these the mechanics coming in, the engineers coming in, they aren't drivers. Yes, they know the mechanics of how a car works, but they don't know how, you know, what it's like to actually race. They don't know what it's like to actually feel the track. A driver does. So I think drivers should be consulted in maybe some cases.
Maybe like a study group.
Oh, a study group.
A think
with
tank and matching pencils, and they can all sit around. Because
like
the thing
tank
is, they have been consulted in the past. I mean, okay, I'm basing this very much on a film.
It's okay.
But
it's
the
okay.
film is set in real life. So Rush, which was the, what, 60s, 70s film with Niki Lauda and James Hunt, careful how you say it. Although we are uncensored. He actually, can't remember. Facts going all out the window here. But one of them opposed this one race that was particularly dangerous and there was a big crash. And I think back in the day,
because that's what Siena did as well.
Senna
did as well.
All our facts are getting all mixed up here.
Yeah.
But I think the drivers used to be consulted an awful lot more. I think there's probably a lot more bureaucracy now. Oh, that's a good word.
I like that we bought bureaucracy. I blame you, my brace.
I do want to mention Niki Lauda a little bit because
Lauda,
who has really upped the ante on this possible Mercedes walkout, walking away from Formula One if they aren't happy with the 2021 regulations. Because previously we've all been talking about Ferrari and whether or not they'll move, and then Lauda suddenly came up from behind and said, actually, Mercedes might as well. And Lauda has been very critical of these plans to make F1 fairer and more financially available.
He's old school.
And don't forget that he fought tooth and nail for his place. I mean, he really...
And his story is incredible as well.
Absolutely incredible. Even aside from the extreme accident and his absolute recovery and Guy Edwards pulling him out of the car, Niki Lauda got his drive through a very unorthodox way, but he really grafted to get it. So I can see how he doesn't like the idea of letting youngsters in easily. But he also, again, a bit old school, he's not happy about the abolition, getting rid of, shall we say, grid girls. And I know we discussed this at length last year, I think it was. And now apparently there are grid kids.
Yeah, which is...
But
then again, when you look at grid kids, you think that's great. These young drivers getting the chance to be on their favourite racetrack in the world.
Are they young drivers, though, or are they just kids?
I think they're young. Yeah, they are part of like the karting teams.
And, right.
But then that also means those kids are probably quite privileged to be
part
of that.
Yeah, true. So, oh, yeah, there has to be a lot of money thrown at them.
Yeah. So then all of a sudden you're
so that's
not
elitist.
Looking a normal kid. But again, that is the world of racing. I think it's great to have an old school voice behind it, because again, when you do look at the races like Lauda, like Senna, used to compete in, the conditions,
it was awful. It used to be like,
I mean, that's
your life
Senna.
In your hands.
Yeah So it's good that in a way we've got someone with those eyes coming through and, you know, voicing how F1 should be, because F1 now is, and I hate using this when I say it's far too safe, but it is. They're cushioned a tad too much,
I think,
drivers.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's absolutely right that there should be all the health and safety regulations. That is great. However, I see what you mean. It's almost becoming sit in your toy car and go around your Scare Electrics, but on a massive, massive scale.
On a huge scale. What do you think of the Halo system?
I knew you were going to ask me that, and I'm just frantically Googling it to figure out exactly what it is, because I know that Lauda has been very critical of that as well.
The protection, isn't it, for the drivers? So
oh, I see.
If they were to crash
so
or roll...
So it looks like an Angel's Halo, right.
I think their main worry was the vision. Will it affect their vision? Because isn't it... the big screen coming over, so
no, surely
like
it would go left to right
now.
No,
but as in when they're in the race,
because
the
they already have
the bar,
yeah,
would it still affect their vision, would it? Or surely
I think if it makes it safer, yeah, then that's a good thing. The thing is, I don't know what the stats are, but and I don't, I'm touching all my bits of wood here that I can.
She's got so much wood, that girl carries all the wood.
But
Woody Olivia,
I don't
we call
think I don't think F1 really is that dangerous a sport anymore.
Exactly, it's way too safe. Something like, I guess, NASCAR.
Yeah, or even compare it to something like rugby or even football, with people coming through with concussions and dementia and Alzheimer's later down the line. The thing is, because in F1, if something goes wrong in F1, it goes horribly wrong, and it is an instant.
And luckily, we haven't seen that for
effect,
a long time.
But we exactly. So whilst we have seen it in other motorsports, I think there is so much of a focus on F1, and it is so much in the public domain that almost we're being overcautious, which is great. But I don't know if we need to go a further step.
No, we just shouldn't. We shouldn't, because F1, it would just be such a boring.
But what
sport.
Difference would it make if it had a halo?
I think it is if they
would
were
it slow them down
flying. I don't know. It will protect them again if there's, I don't know, tire coming towards their
debris,
head or
yeah,
something coming towards their head. But
it doesn't take out the human error factor. I mean, the yeah, poor, was it a Ferrari mechanic who had his leg rolled over?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing happens. And there's no,
no
there's
halo
no guarantee.
Would have helped him.
No, there was
no
absolutely,
halo.
He had no halo. I don't know why I said that.
Were you
singing a song?
That? You were.
I don't know. I've had
Olivia
Chris
Cox,
Brown
everybody.
In my head all day. In fact, I don't even know if it's by Chris Brown, but that's on Chris Brown's body. It's on a loop.
I think it is by Chris Brown.
Is it? So Chris Brown is singing
about
I woke up in Chris Brown's body.
I mean,
it was, so it'd be like me saying I woke up on a Tuesday if it was I woke up in Olivia Cox's body. I know it doesn't have quite
thanks
the same ring to
in.
It.
And, we'll see you next week.
We're going to move on into boxing. Should we do boxing?
Let's do some boxing.
Okay. Since Rachel and I did go to a boxing class this morning, just to, you know, team bonding and all that.
Yeah.
We've been doing this show now, what, 6 months? Is it our 6 month anniversary? Yeah. Something like that. So we thought
yeah,
that
I had to work
we'd
that
get
out.
They, well, that was really fun. If you obviously can't see that, but Rachel did that classic
counting
one,
with
two,
fingers.
Three, four, five piggies on
I'm
her.
I'm counting
on her
with my fingers.
In boxing, Eric Molina has been suspended for 2 years after testing positive for a banned substance last week. Oh no, that wasn't last week. That's a new sentence. Apologies, everybody. So this is, he fought against Anthony Joshua back in 2016, and he, I'm not sure exactly what it was that he was tested for, because it's
but
not on my notes.
This is what we were discussing the other week with boxing. It's, I can't remember who, which boxer came forward and said, you know, the only way people are going to stand up and take notice of the, you know, the drugs that goes on is if someone sadly gets killed in the ring. I mean, people, I think it's epidemic within boxing.
You know, so I was watching last night a 2017 American documentary called Icarus by a guy called Brian Fogel, which goes through all the options of doping to win an amateur cycling race. And he was actually saying it happened on
cycling
such a major international scale that one of the heads, in fact, the head of the Russian anti-doping laboratory came out and said, everyone's doing it. He said, how many of the athletes who won gold medals at whatever, everyone.
And this is all alleged. So I don't want... Yeah,
but I think that's the problem, because there is this feeling that everyone is doing it, and if you get caught out, you're unlucky. So the Eric, who we mentioned earlier, Eric Molina, 36-year-old, tested positive for the prohibited substance dexamethasone.
Dexamethasone.
I wish I'd rehearsed saying that
it's
word.
Really hard with a brace. Today.
Yeah. Can I just say, Rachel? Can you say that?
Let me try it with my brace, won't I? Dexamethasone.
Oh, that was very well done.
Diction.
Rachel has a brace in, and I love getting her.
I'm
on which note,
mess.
How mean is it that Lisp has an S in it? Try saying Lisp.
Lisp. I used to have a Lisp when I was a little girl, and I used to see a man in a van about it. True story.
What?
You used to see a man in a van about
show.
My Lisp, babe.
Have you ever watched that Would I Lie to You? It's hilarious. In fact, when we start doing our World Cup coverage, maybe we could put that in.
Oh, would
facts,
I lie to you? That's going to be our new game.
About the World Cup, would I lie to you?
Write it down, producer Abby. I'm writing it down. Would I lie to you?
It's on paper. It can't be it can't be refuted.
Yeah, no, I did see a man in a van about my lisp.
But going back to boxing, last week it was actually going on from this doping issue, which if you haven't seen it, Chris, then I would really recommend it. It's on Netflix and it is, I'm not going to attempt to pronounce the Russian laboratory scientist. This guy, I think it was the Russian equivalent of Gregory. Let's just say Greg. And he was talking about all the different doping options and how rife it is in athletics and just about every sport. And interestingly, last week, the British government announced that drug cheats will not face criminal prosecution. Now, this is the second time that this conversation has erupted because it went through the courts or whatever process it is to become legal. You can tell I didn't do a law degree. Back in 2017.
No.
All right, lisp.
I mean, I look for you in class. Everything.
That's because you pulled a sick note.
Yeah, I am. True. I was in a band with a band, babe, on my lisp. That's right.
I'm not sure you're ready to talk about that yet.
I don't think I should.
Rachel, you take over. You've got the next news, haven't you?
I have indeed. That was just way too much fun, though. Sorry.
I want to drink my coffee.
That's all right. Do it. So, a team of misfits have been given odds of 500-1 to win the title at the start of their debut season. And this is NHL, so it's the National Hockey League.
This is basically Cool Runnings.
Just like Cool Runnings. We're going Cool Runnings.
Very different, but the principle remains.
Just like it.
But not at all.
So opposite. So we're given 500-1 to win the title at the start of the debut season. They are now on the verge of making history after reaching the NHL finals in their inaugural campaign.
Inaugural. I shouldn't have tried to correct you. Sorry, do carry
we
on.
We understand that today we could not pronounce anything.
Okay, that's fine.
They are the Vegas Golden Knights. They completed a 4-1 series victory over the Winnipeg Jets to become the first, and that's a brilliant name, Winnipeg, to become the first expansion team in 50 years to reach the Stanley Cup finals in their first season. The Knights are Las Vegas's first major professional sports team and were awarded a franchise in June 2016 after owner Bill Foley. He paid £403 million expansion fee to the NHL. So I wonder why they did so well. You inject a lot of money into a team. 2 years later, their odds are 500-1. They look like they're going to make history. We will let you know, actually, if that should be going on this week. We'll let you know what happens. Imagine that, though. If you're one of the players, one of the, you know, the...
Tell me, I want to imagine.
On ice, thinking...
It sounds like Disney on Ice. Oh, I do love Disney on Ice.
I can't stand Disney.
Oh, dead inside every time.
You know, I'm dead inside. 500-1. What's that going to do for your nerves, for your doubt? Or do you think, you know, when you are told you're the underdogs, do you literally think they're just going there thinking, well, what's the worst that's going
to
happen?
Yeah, I think so. I think that probably, I'd love to ask a sports person about this, their psychology. I think that probably takes away a lot of anxiety, a lot of doubt, a lot of worrying. Because I think a lot of the time, what makes us anxious is fear that we won't live up to expectations or that we won't live up to what we've done before. I myself suffered from this. This weekend, I did the Hackney Half. I know that's on a very different scale to some of this national sport, but we will be talking about it later. And one of the big things that I found was that I was afraid to fail because I didn't want to not beat my marathon time.
So you beat yourself up over your own yourself.
So there's a word that I want to say. Basically, what I wanted to do first was quit so that I didn't fail.
Really? That's surprising.
Which I think is, I'm fiercely competitive, horribly competitive, and I would rather not try than try and fail, which is a really negative way of thinking.
I never would have
thought that. But I do think that perhaps on your first go of something, and just to finish, to step in that arena, just to hold the hockey stick on TV is better than you did yesterday.
Yeah, that's very true. A little story, by the way, about the Hackney Half Marathon. I'll be very quick with this.
Don't. I like this story.
Sunday morning, Mother Half and I, we're not really up early Sunday morning folk. But we thought, you know, we feel a bit fresh. We've had an early night. Bedhead still. Why don't we go for a breakfast somewhere quiet, we're not going to bump into anyone. It's going to be okay. Hair sticking up. I was a little bit arsy, I'm not going to lie. Face still puffy from a night's sleep. We turn up at the breakfast spot into the Hackney Half Marathon. How many people there, Olivia?
Okay, there were 20,000 people there. It was double the people last year. This year, they sold out for the first time ever. It was with Asics and Virgin Sport, and there was a great quote from Richard Branson that said, "Screw it, just do it." I was a bit like, all right, Rich, get your running trainers on.
All right, darling, enough about last night.
And Rachel, I have to say, yes, I feel sorry for you that you had too much sleep and got up.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I had 4 hours sleep. This was the least prepared I've ever been for a sporting event in my life. Even playing tennis at school, I would have prepared a little bit more because I didn't think I was going to do it. I made my peace with not doing it because I knew I hadn't trained enough, didn't want to embarrass myself, didn't want to prove that I couldn't do it. So I thought, no, I'm not doing it.
So what made you change your mind last minute?
A very persuasive friend who put me in a bit of an ultimatum position. And so I thought, oh, what's the worst that can happen? There's a lot that can happen.
You see Rachel, her other half, with bedhead.
Can you imagine if
really
I'd seen
confused.
You? I think I'd have run past with my mouth open, like, put the pastry in.
It was just the most confusing thing ever,
gluten
you know.
Free.
Yeah, always gluten-free, babe. It was the most confusing thing ever. But well done you for
Thank you.
Taking part.
If anyone else did take part, then please tweet us and let us know how you got on at FUBAR Radio or drop us a line on your Insta story, again, at FUBAR Radio.
Paul Clark, you have tweeted us. I will read out your tweet in a few moments when we do discuss the footy. So Paul Clark, do carry on listening to us. Maybe go get yourself a glass of water. Don't know why. Not saying you look parched, Paul, but you
why,
might.
Why water?
Why not?
Okay, yeah, Paul, let us know how hydrated you are. I was personally very dehydrated and it on Sunday, and it is an excuse that I have carried through to today. So I went to F45. You know what I love?
Gotcha.
Is when you do something and then you subtly let other people know, like the humble brag, oh, it's really hard for me today because I did a half marathon. Did everyone hear that? A half marathon yesterday. And then they all start going, oh God, why are you here? You go lie down, but you persevere.
Yeah, so
you
gosh, it's amazing.
Yeah, and you're like, mm. And then I went in today and they're like, all right, Liv, you're feeling better then? And I'm like, no.
This
I want
is lasting
a good,
a
like,
week.
Yeah, I'm yeah. milking this.
Yeah, I'm milking like there was
a cow that needed milking. We have got some more sport news. We have digressed quite strongly. Tennis.
Oh, yes. King of clay, Nadal. He's back at number one ahead of his bid for the 11th French Open. I do love this. So, basically, with Nadal, no one, I don't think, can beat him at the moment. They really, really can't. He recently also set the men's record for most consecutive tennis sets won, all on clay, hence, again, his wonderful nickname of King of Clay. Nadal also owns a 79-2 win-loss record at the French Open, where the best-of-five-set format makes him, and he's 31 years old, so he's still a young'un, kind of coming in.
Is that
in,
not a
in
bit
game.
Old for tennis?
Getting there, but I like to think he's a bit young.
Fine.
It makes him impossible to defeat. He's only lost to Sweden's Robin Söderling in the fourth round in 2009 and Novak Djokovic in the quarterfinal in 2015. And actually, joking
aside, I quite
fancy
Djokovic's chances.
I love Nadal. I do love Nadal. I do. I think he, and again, yeah, 31, you are, compared to your other partners who are probably mid-20s, maybe up to about 30. I don't know how old Djokovic is, actually.
I don't know. He turns 31 today. Happy birthday.
Wow. Wait. This is for you. Are you about to ruin it? Oh, you're about to sing?
Yes. Go. I thought you were going to announce you had happy birthday on there somewhere.
Oh, that would be incredible.
I was about to sing. Oh, no, hang on. Sorry, I do have to ruin it. I'm sorry. Hang on. What date is it today? 22nd of May. It's today. I was getting a little ahead of myself. So he has just reached the lofty heights Nadal.
But yes, what do you think then? So going into the French Open, do you think Nadal could... I mean, look at his record. And he is someone who is the master of playing on clay.
He is. And Novak, I'm going to call him Novak because I was going to say Djokovic then and then it worried me too much that I might say it wrong. So Novak, he's had a lot of injury and he hasn't really had any form throughout this year. So his clay court season has been a little bit of the player we used to know, but not as much. So I see where you're going with Nadal.
I see where you're going with it, Rach.
I see where you're going.
But
not
I'm going to
sure,
reverse.
I'm sure. I'd really like to see someone younger and fresh coming through.
Yeah, no. I like the golden oldies.
No,
come on.
We can't hold on to them for too long.
We don't have any of the breakout stars yet. So, yes, again, like you were saying, it'd be great to see one of the young'uns. But no, Nadal. I'm all for Nadal. I'm clenching my fist and...
Nadal or
shutting up.
Djokovic. Djokovic spent 223 weeks at number one. Did you know that? However, he's now ranked 20 places lower.
I should be so lucky.
I reckon that both of these guys, this might be coming towards the end of their big international careers.
I think Djokovic has changed his manager as well, isn't he?
What age do they tend to retire, tennis players?
I'm not sure. I'll ask next time.
I'll ask Tim.
I'll ask. Yeah.
Why not? Rosetsky?
Djokovic actually isn't really on form at the moment. He does. Is he with Boris Becker as his manager? I'm going to look into that because I think he is.
Because, of course, we've got Wimbledon coming up as well. We're just going to be back onto the grass.
Can we?
Oh, I'd love that.
I'm not camping.
I've never, ever actually been to see a Wimbledon game. Back in, when I was 16, so quite a while ago, I worked at the championship. So it was like
Did
a rite of passage for my school. Everyone would go and do
you
hospitality
went to a good
there.
School.
And
my school
I,
banned from there.
For some reason, wow. I think because I could pronounce all my words properly, I was put in the members' lounge. Members' enclosure. And
That's
I had
so cool.
to serve like the old players. And it wasn't the players' lounge, so the current players were not mine, but I had people like Budge Parry, who I remember was just an absolute ledge. And I remember one of the old boys offering me tickets to centre court for a game, and I was like, "No, you're right, mate. I've been working like 8 hours. I'm going home now." Oh, Olivia!
Oh,
16-year-old me is a bitch.
Wow.
No, I know, right?
They give you an...
Gutted.
I know, right?
I know.
Wow. That's so cool. Maybe we can just roll back at your school and go in that
I
way.
I think that might be a bit creepy, actually.
I'd do it. Up my grades a little bit, might as well. There's a new world tour. We're going to cover golf very quickly, then we will do footy. And Paul, I'm going to read your tweet out as well. A new global golf circuit is being planned. Multiple sources have confirmed in what would be the biggest upheaval in professional game in decades. To be named the World Golf Series, the circuit proposed by the British-based World Golf Group has been in the planning stages for more than a year. Now, what they want to do is... hold about between 15 to 20 yearly tournaments around the world, each offering a purse of close to $20 million. This is prize fund.
Okay, so that'd be £10 million. Wait, the exchange rate isn't that anymore, is it?
No, it'll be about £18 million. And such a figure would dwarf the prize money currently on offer on the game's richest circuit, which is the American's PGA Tour. And their biggest purse this season is $11 million. Several blue chip sponsors are believed to be on board for the World Golf Series if top players can be signed. How amazing is that?
That's exciting.
We should write to them to see if they need presenters.
I thought you were going to say,
all right, yeah?
We should write to them to see if they need some more players. I was like, Rach, I fail at mini golf, let alone anything else. I just, very quickly, before we move on to football, because I had a question that I wanted to put out there regarding tennis, because Murray has been suffering quite a few injuries. There's been rumours that he might have suffered a setback. What happens to Henman Hill and Murray Mount if Murray doesn't play? Who, what would we call it? I know, big question. If anyone on Twitter has any ideas, do let me know.
Do tweet us.
We've got Watson, the female.
Contamount?
Henman Hill. It's got to be alliteration. Henman Hill, Murray Mount. So what would it have to be like?
Again,
slope?
See why my school were invited.
Have we got someone that begins with S? Come on, we're going to have to find a tennis
Serena.
Player. No, she's not English.
Oh, well, I mean, I'd give up with this
And
game.
Also, that's her first name. Okay, well, if anyone else wants to play with me, then do
game.
Let me know. I'm going to be having a brainstorm. Rachel's going to do the football.
Oh, I am indeed. Very quickly, Harry Kane will captain England at the World Cup finals in Russia. Only believe Spurs have at least 4 players in the England team. Hashtag just saying. Gareth Southgate named the 24-year-old as the permanent skipper in a team meeting with the squad at St George's Park last night. Now, this is the first gathering since Southgate named his final 23-man travelling party, although numbers were depleted because of Liverpool's game this weekend. And let's talk about Liverpool's game this weekend. It is obviously the Champions League final, Real Madrid versus Liverpool. Jurgen Klopp actually believes his side have the desire, attitude and work rate that can help them beat an experienced 12-time European champions Real Madrid. Five-time winners Liverpool do face the, well, it says Spanish giants. I mean, that's just an understatement. I think it's going to be such an it's going to be a brilliant, brilliant match on Saturday. I mean, Real Madrid, Liverpool, it'd be beautiful if Liverpool could win. It would really kind of round off their season perfectly. Jurgen Klopp has done such a great team. With Jurgen Klopp, he's slow and steady with his team, and he's got there. I think, yeah, it'd be fantastic. But Real Madrid's are giants of the game. They are more experienced. Klopp has even said, experience is important in life, but it's not the only thing. I hear you. He also added, you can level it with desire, attitude and work rate, and that's why I love football. That's why I love you, Jurgen Klopp. I really, really do. We've actually got Jurgen Klopp chatting a bit earlier on. We'll listen to that, and then I've got some Arsenal news for you.
It's still football, and we have a chance, and that's why I think let's give it a try. Let's go there and try to perform on a level which maybe people would say it's not possible for us, but it is possible, and that's exactly what we should do. We did all the things we need in that game. We did already plenty of times during that Champions League campaign, and now we have to do it again. That's it.
Yeah, that is it. It's going to be fantastic. That's this Saturday. Real Madrid versus Liverpool. And just to let you know, rumours of a managerial change. We did see Arsene Wenger finally leave last night. Pictures in the press of him driving out of Emirates. It is sad to see
Arsene. Of an era.
Yeah, it really is. He's one of the greatest Premier League managers. He's done such a fantastic job with Arsenal. He really, really has. It's sad he just become very stuck in his ways. He really did, and I think his hands were probably tied with who he could sign. I know Arsenal never spend much money, and you know, when your hands are tied, when maybe you want to bring new players on and you can't, then what can you do? But you know, it was about time that Arsene Wenger did leave, and they are saying now that there is rumours of a managerial change between Arsenal and Paris Saint-Germain. This has been going on for years and years and years between Arsenal and Paris Saint-Germain, and it's Unai Emery. And he's in advanced talks with the Gunners to become Arsene Wenger's successor.
So hang on, when you say an exchange, would Arsene Wenger go over to Paris
Saint-Germain? There's always this rumour between Arsenal and Paris Saint-Germain. I mean, who knows? He won't. Wenger is too old. I think he'll go to a maybe lower of the table, the bottom end of the table Premier League team. But he's great. Arsene Wenger is a great manager, and I think we'll see him in the Premier League still. I really do.
How many football fans do you think say Saint-Germain like you do?
I hope only the sexy ones.
Because I can imagine it might be more Saint-Germain. That's how I would have pronounced it.
Oh, no, it's not. No, it's Paris Saint-Germain.
I'm aware that it's French.
Yeah, no, it's Paris Saint-Germain. It's like Juventus. If people think it's Juventus, it's like, get out of town, you know that now.
Are you done with football? Because I want to add to tennis.
Oh, she's got a dog with a bone.
Sorry, I have. I've got a bee in my bonnet. I'm yet to find the successor. However, can I just break this news to you that Google Maps actually named Murray Mound on its maps in 2014, and then there was a row that erupted because Murray Mound was renamed Henman Hill, and then there's all the chatter about is it Murray Mound or Murray Mount? And now you may continue with football.
Olivia Cox, everybody, very quickly. Paul Clark on Twitter, because we will be going to Alice in a few moments. Paul Clark on Twitter, afternoon, ladies. I wonder if you were doffing your cap.
Hello.
Afternoon, ladies. and curious, what do you think England's chances really are in Russia? Yeah, all right. I mean, the team is very young. I think that's probably a mistake. We needed some more experienced people to go over there with the pressures. I think it's going to be great with Dele Alli. Danny Rose, or the Spurs, let's be honest, the Spurs.
I had a feeling Spurs that you might just
that we do
reel them
have.
Off.
We do, they are, we do have a good team. I think we'll maybe do all right. Be out in a couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks. I suppose it's only 4 weeks in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't. I'm not that excited. I love it.
So
it's
more
not
what you think we're going to struggle with, the pressure off the field rather than on the field.
No.
You think it's on the field?
Yeah, I don't. I'm not as excited about it, but we could be in for a shock. I do have a lot of belief and faith in Gareth Southgate. I'm not that excited. But I am looking forward to seeing people like Messi play, you know, some of the greats out there in the football world right now. That's what I'm looking forward to more than England.
Paul, what do you think now that you've had our...
Yeah, now you've had a glass of water, Paul.
This is like the royal we. I said diddly squat about that, but Rachel gave you a very lovely answer. So, Paul, do answer. Is that along your predictions? What do you think? What really are England's chances?
She's asking a lot from you, Paul.
Russia. Well, you wanted him to have a damn glass of water.
And I bet he's very parched. No.
He'd be hydrated, actually, my love.
Anytime. Shall we go to our phone guest?
Yeah, let's. Is she here?
She is on the phone line right now. We've got Alice Rickard, personal trainer and writer. Hello, Alice.
Hello, Alice.
Hello, darkness.
I felt really obliged there to start pretending to be Alice because, of course, I was with her this morning at BXR and Dare to Be, and I did want to just come in and start pretending to be Alice Rickard, but actually, I don't think that I could quite do her justice. So we are going to try and get Alice on the phone. Whilst Rachel faffs around with that technical side, I will give you a brief history of Alice Rickard. Now, she used to be a trader in finance and swapped that out for fitness. She's the co-founder of Burn Strength Yoga, combining HIIT, strength and yoga all in one. And she and I got very sweaty with Rachel earlier today when we went to trial the new Dare to Be sports line at Anthony Joshua's boxing gym in Marylebone, BXR.
And we'll go back to that. Oh, I think she's here. Alice Rickard, can you hear me?
I can indeed. Hello.
Alice, did you hear all of that? Did you hear all my blabber coming down the line?
I heard you talking about some tennis earlier.
She's going on and on and on about it.
On and on about tennis. Hi, Alice. Thank you for talking to us.
No worries.
So, Alice, you are a personal trainer and a writer. The thing that I didn't actually know until production put it in front of me, you used to be a trader.
Yeah, I used to work in finance for like 10 years.
Wow.
I used to work for a hedge fund and kind of worked there for a paycheck more than anything because I wasn't really enjoying that life too much. And then I finally had the balls to jack it all in and then do something that I actually love.
And is fitness something you've always been into? Was that quite an easy move?
I was as a kid. I was like always in the sports teams at school. And then when I first moved to London, I did the thing that a lot of people do and then just switched to socialising and drinking and all sports goes out the window.
Yeah, I've heard this because I've always lived in London, so I've never had that move to London, gain weight and get unfit. But I do remember it at university. I got to university fighting fit and a lean bean, and I put on about 2 stone within my first 2 months because I was eating pizza and going out every night. Is that what happens in London?
Pretty much.
Well, it's maybe freedom. It's because I didn't go to university, so this is my equivalent. I just moved straight to London, and that's when it happened for me.
Making up for lost time.
Yeah, and then I just picked it back up when I got more settled into office life. It was like my escape to sort of go to the gym, and I'd go like morning, evening, just to escape office life.
Hang on, so you'd go more than once in a day?
Yeah, back in the day. In my 20s, I don't think I can hack that anymore.
Oh, the sweet, sweet 20s.
I know, right?
I think we can all sit here and quietly say, yeah, I'm no longer 20.
Yeah.
The days when hangovers didn't exist.
Oh, no, I definitely got hangovers when I was 20. But Alice, we saw you earlier today at BXR sweating your stuff.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on boxing as a training method? I mean, I know that you're very into HIIT, strength and yoga all in one. Does boxing have a place?
Yeah, I think boxing is such a great sport to like learn and incorporate into your gym because you're actually learning like a skill. Obviously, like with normal gym workouts, you're obviously learning technique and skill, but to actually learn to be able to incorporate an actual sport into your workout is always such a fun thing to do. And it's also like really hard. People don't realize, like, if you box correctly, you know, it's really difficult. There's a reason why rounds are only like 2-3 minutes long because
you can't
go for much longer than that.
It was such a hard workout. Because it's the first time I've done boxing, and I thought to myself, oh, this is going to be a breeze.
You know, I think it's one of those workouts where you get out of it as much as you put in, because you can kind of go through the motions. And Alice, you must find this a lot with your private PT clients. There are people who, and I'm guilty of it, especially on a hangover, you go through the motions and you're like, right, I'm here.
I've turned up.
That's therefore my workout done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you do see that a lot. And I mean, boxing, especially if you don't have great technique and you're not really hitting the bag correctly, then you can definitely get away with kind of being in the room and not doing too much. But on the flip side, if you do put the effort in, if you do listen to the instruction and you're getting that technique on point, then it's going to absolutely blast you.
On point, I love that. So the gym we were at, BXR, is very known for being almost like a nightclub vibe gym. It's very dark with fluorescent lighting, and we didn't realise that the kit we were wearing until we got in there was going to be kind of almost day glow. I think they must have had UV lights.
We were literally glowing.
Alice was in red. Rachel had pink bits, and I think my vest was orange. It was orange. I've still got it with me. So it's all by Dare to Be Sports, and thank God it's good at wicking sweat.
I mean, even if we looked awful on the bag, we looked great in our kit. We were all the gear, no idea. Some of us
could be. Hey, do it for the gram. That's half the battle, right?
Do it all for the
gram. It is indeed. We got some great pictures. That's all you need for a workout these days, isn't it?
Well, speaking of pictures, Alice, I'm very jealous of your Insta holidaying that's been going down at the moment. Where have you just come back from?
So my most recent trip,
Someone who has to say my most recent trip. Oh, where did you go? Sorry, which one? She's one of them.
I've had a lucky year. No, my most recent one, I've just been in Scotland with a company called iGo Adventures, who put on wilderness adventures for people that are time poor but want to experience, you know, like a crazy adventure in the wilderness, and you know, inclusive with a physical challenge. But basically, you know, the idea is that you've only got 2 or 3 days, but you want to try something that's physically demanding and really out of your comfort zone. These are the kind of challenges they put on.
That's a good idea, because there's so many. We were talking last week that the activity sort of fitness travel industry is really, really growing, and there are all these options to go off and do boot camps and retreats, but they do tend to be a week to 10 days long. And if you want to just flash bang achieve something, a weekend in the mountains, can I say, in the hills?
Doable.
I mean, I keep calling it a mountain because I think it sounds more gnarly, but apparently the Scottish terminology is it was a Munro.
Yes, you're right.
It was huge. In my dictionary, it was a mountain, but
We'll go with mountain. But you have also recently been on the beach, have you not? Or is that a lie? Are you like me? Do you store up pictures and then post them when you're home so people don't bother you?
No. I have. So about 2 weeks ago, I was in Florida for a week. Because I was writing an article for Dose on life on the beaches, but I did get a lot of pictures of me on the beach. But the trip was meant to be about life beyond the beach. So there was a lot of cultural stuff going on.
Sounds amazing.
I would take that over a finance job any day.
Yeah, I hear you on that one, definitely.
But how, Alice, when you are chilling and you're doing what you're not meant to be doing and just hanging on the beach, how do you stay in shape? If we've got listeners who are going away this summer, or perhaps they're planning like a hen do, or actually, no, that's a bad example. You probably wouldn't work out on a hen do.
But it's scary if you're going away on holiday, even for a week, and you think, well, if there's no gym, there's no, what am I going to do?
Yeah, what are your tips for staying in shape whilst you are indulging a little on holiday?
So I would say, first of all, have a think about whether you want to actually train on holiday, because sometimes if you're someone that goes to the gym regularly all the time and you never take a break, then sometimes it is good to actually have a break for a week.
Okay.
Because a lot of people overtrain in London, and it's something we're seeing more of more regularly. Yeah. That said, on the flip side, if you do want to train on holiday, which I do because I love it, because I've actually got so much time in the day, I'm not having to rush and cram it in. I think, well, it depends where you're going. So if I'm abroad and I get jet lag and I'm up very early, then that's the time I normally train, because I think I'm lying in bed, I'm twiddling my thumbs, I'm a bit annoyed that I'm up when I shouldn't be. I'm going to take advantage of that. Let's go and do like a session on the beach and watch the sunrise and kind of
sunrise sesh. Oh, that was really difficult to say.
That really was. I was holding my breath.
I do like that idea though of doing absolutely nothing. And we will be talking later about the body reset diet, which we will be asking if it's fit or fad. But Alice, it's been absolutely lovely talking to you, but we're going to have to love you and leave you. We've completely run out of time, but we are going to be tweeting out some of Alice's top tips for holiday and some pictures from us all sweating out at BXR. And beautiful. With Dare to Be. Yeah. So thank you, Alice.
Amazing.
Thank you so much.
Cool. Thank you. Bye.
sounded like she was falling down a hole there.
Bye. Was that your fault? Were you muting her? Oh, Rachel. Speedy Gonzalez.
They just go down holes.
She lost her internet connection. No.
Oh, that's really made me chuckle.
So that was Alice Rickard PT, and you can catch her on Instagram. She is Alice Rickard PT. Do look at our Instagram if you want a link of where to go to find her, and we will show you
bikini pictures
where you can train with her.
Yeah, we can. And also to wet your appetite for our next guest. And I want one's appetite to be wet right now. Dampened appetite, if you will.
Is it wet or wet? Like, wet your whistle. Sorry, do carry on.
Do you say that when you have to wet your whistle? Wet your whistle.
I don't know. It's because it's not visual.
I'm not wetting my whistle in a while.
I'm trying to orderly demonstrate.
Been married for years, babe. Anyway, we've got some snippets from her YouTube channel. This is Kristen of K's Perfect Fitness TV.
Hi guys, it's Kristen here from K's Perfect Fitness TV. 80% of what you do is going to be what you put into your body. So you want to be thinking, am I eating clean, lean, and green? Am I eating fresh foods, raw foods, lots of green veggies? Is my plate full of healthy protein with vegetables and salad? So what we will be doing is a 7-minute workout. It's going to be 50 seconds on, 10 seconds rest, and you will need a set of dumbbells. Today we're going to talk about how to stretch your piriformis muscle. And your piriformis is a small muscle located in the deep section of your glutes. It runs diagonally from the sacrum, the lower spine, to the upper surface of your femur. So it helps to assist in rotating the leg and the foot. Sleep is so important for your body. You need to rest. So many people are running on no sleep and little sleep and not very good quality sleep. Why do you need this much sleep? But if you're not getting that much sleep and you're tired all the time, you'll be craving caffeine and sugar. So those are two things that are gonna wreck our healthy lifestyle and diet. So you guys have been asking me, how do I burn belly fat? And I'm assuming that you are eating well, you're eating clean, lean, and green. You know, you're doing everything right, but what's that extra push can you do? This is the workout for you. So today I'm going to be sharing with you my high protein vegan chocolate, coconut, and banana smoothie. It's my favorite recipe to make for breakfast. It's really filling and yummy. And I'm going to be using a pea protein today, which contains 24 grams of protein all on its own. It has no other additives, so I'm going to be adding some stuff to it to make this a really yummy, delicious smoothie for you. The first thing I do every single day is I start my day with a hot lemon and ginger tea. Why? Because the lemon is really cleansing. It really flushes out your system in the morning. The ginger is amazing because it's an antibacterial and anti-inflammatory. It promotes a healthy immune system, and it also promotes weight loss. So that's a really great thing to have every single morning to start your day. So it'll take you 15 minutes to complete. Like I said, it's fast and effective. You don't have to run or cycle or whatever for 45 minutes of continuous training. So thanks for watching. I'm Kristen watching K's Perfect Fitness TV.
And that was the lady herself that's in the studio. It's Kristen Kay from Perfect Fitness TV. Welcome.
Aw, thanks for having me.
It's wonderful to have you here. Do you know what? The energy from your videos is fantastic. And just by looking at you, it's very obvious you love what you do, don't you?
I love it. Yeah, I love training.
Well, I mean, let's start with... Well, by the way, just to let people know that... Kay's Perfect Fitness TV, there's 177,000 subscribers, which is... incredible.
Yeah, it's crazy.
How many years, by the way, has that taken to grow?
About 7 years. I've been working on it for a long time now.
Did you always have this goal in mind, or has it been quite an organic process building your brand, as it were?
Yes, YouTube has been completely organic, so I've obviously never bought subscribers. That sort of happened on its own, which has been great.
But did you know, was this your end goal? Is this where you, did you ever imagine that you could get this successful in what you're doing?
No, the whole YouTube channel started on a job that didn't happen. I was meant to be a fitness presenter on a Sky TV show.
Oh wow! Okay.
And unfortunately, the whole program got pulled. The producer got made redundant. The whole channel went down.
Love it when that happens.
So after three months of working on it, the director said, "I'm out of a job." I said, "So am I. Why don't we make a YouTube channel?" Okay.
Oh my God, so you literally did it yourself?
Yeah, pretty
much.
Wow,
that is inspiring. That's really inspiring. Then you've also worked as a model with Nike, Reebok, Matt Roberts, Stella McCartney. Is there anyone you haven't worked with?
Yeah, of course. Someone new to work with. It says here you're a professional dancer. So for you, did the fitness start with dancing? Was that your life first before you got into becoming, you know, the gym side of things?
Yeah, absolutely. I started dancing when I was 3, ballet, jazz, tap, and then I'm originally from the States, so I moved to London when I was 18 and went to school for musical theatre.
Oh, which school?
I went to the Arts Educational School in London.
Lovely. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
That was the most condescending.
It's a
very genuine comment from Rachel, because Rachel good. Came as a dancer as well. That's her background. Yeah. So.
Are you still a professional dancer? I am.
So a lot of my training is created so that way I can maintain the dancer's physique. Because when I was at Arts Ed, they told me, "You're a great dancer, but you're not strong enough. Get to the gym." I was like, "Okay." So that was.
Are they allowed to say that?
Yeah. We're dancing. Yeah, you do have to be a very strong dancer, especially commercial dancing. Yeah, definitely.
And now it's a good thing. I mean, you look at all the dancers, and everybody's strong. I mean, strong is the new skinny. It's completely a different world nowadays.
Yeah. So when then was that moment you thought, I'm going to maybe train within the personal training world? When was that moment? Or was when you got the presenting job?
Oh, no, I was already a personal trainer when I got that job. But I guess it started, from an illness. After I left ArtsEd, I was auditioning. And unfortunately, I came down with glandular fever. And so once I got over that, it was sort of starting over again. I couldn't always afford to go to class. Yeah. So the best way for me to get my strength back up was I kept going to the gym. And then, you know, I guess when you're auditioning for jobs as an actor or a dancer and you kind of get bored of working sort of the boring jobs, I thought, I want to find a job that I really like. And I just found myself constantly in the gym. So it just made sense to become a personal trainer or a fitness instructor. So I did that. And that was like my side job. But I guess I'm kind of good at it. So, you know.
I guess you are kind of good with 177,000 followers and subscribers. And actually, I was having a look at your website and the number of qualifications you have is quite mind-blowing. Tell us a bit about what it takes to be a bar instructor and an everything else instructor.
I think my dancing background has massively helped. In London, I am also an Extend Bar instructor, so our studio is on Marylebone High Street.
What is Extend Bar?
Extend Bar is a fusion of ballet and Pilates, and it's a full body workout, but it's also massively just body weight training, and we use half kilo dumbbells and resistance bands. And
so it's the kind of workout that someone who's not really into working out, could they do it, or do you have to have a certain level in order to come to your classes?
This is the thing. People really underestimate how difficult it's going to be. They think, oh yeah, I don't really want to work out, I'll go to a bar class.
I
have this feeling.
You'll have your legs shaking in 5 minutes time.
And the next day, that's the problem. I went to Paola's Body Bar and I had that, I used to be in the army, so I had this feeling of like, oh, it's fine. If I can jump over a wall, I can do that. I could do ballet when I was little. This will be absolutely fine. Good God, it is not absolutely fine. Isometric holds are two words I never comfortably want to hear again. In my life, it is pain. It is like that deep burn when you isolate. Yeah. I did get nice nightmares. You isolate a muscle and then you just sort of kill it. Well, not kill it, but you know, you make it really shake. Sorry that it woke up today.
But you feel like when you are holding those isolations, you're actually lengthening your muscles, which is what I like. I like doing workouts that create long, lean muscle. I mean,
I like that.
Yeah, a lot of our sort of gym exercises can sort of bulk up the body.
Yeah.
And I mean, for me, because I come from a dance background and I do a lot of modeling as well, it's nice to find a workout that really elongates the body but gets you very strong at the same time.
So that's interesting, because there has been a lot of chatter about whether or not picking up a weight does bulk you out. Do you think that you can still do weightlifting and you can still do resistance without bulking out? Is there a method, or is it you're just going to bulk?
I think as long as you keep doing a variety of workouts, if that's all you do all the time, yeah, I mean, of course you can bulk up. But I think if you do it with a variety of other workouts, then it keeps you strong. I mean, you have to find a workout that you like to do, otherwise you're not going to do it. If you enjoy lifting weights, lift weights. If you enjoy doing yoga, do yoga. You have to find something that you like to do. Otherwise, it's just...
It's quite refreshing, though, I think, because certainly when I was early 20s and really getting into going to the gym, it was all cardio. And as soon as you stepped into the weights room as a girl, people are like... Sorry, love, are you lost?
Or cracking onto you.
Yeah, and there was this feeling, even within sort of the female gym community, of kind of, oh no, I'm not going to touch a weight because I don't want to bulk out. And then I remember starting to see these memes, and they were like girls running on a treadmill, and it's like, oh honey, you're only doing cardio, oh that's cute.
Yeah,
and it's like we've changed our way of thinking, which is quite cool, because it's now okay to lift weights and do
be strong. Yeah.
It means that you don't have to hammer your joints every single day doing cardio.
So true. And I'm now embracing doing weights. I love doing weights, actually.
Yeah.
Although my upper body, I'm not very good. I just want to look at your YouTube channel here, some of your videos you've got, and I love them as well, because they're only 7 minutes. It's so, you do it in the morning before you go to work, can't you? You've got How to Lose Your Love Handle, 7 minute workout, 7 minute total body dumbbell workout, slim and sculpted legs workout. Is that what you try to do, kind of short videos so anyone with any kind of routine can look at them?
Pretty much. All my workouts on YouTube are at-home workouts. 90% of them are just body weight training. You don't even need any equipment at all. So anyone can do these. I find that there's a lot of people that find going to a gym intimidating. They don't want to, or they have kids, and they have to just squeeze a quick workout in wherever they can. But at the same time, a lot of people think, oh, I want to do my booty today. I want to do my abs, and I want to do
my
arms.
My booty. I love that. So American.
You know, so if you put together three different seven-minute workouts, 21 minutes, done. You know what I mean? You can pair them however you want to. What do you want to work? And then you can create the perfect workout for you.
Now, Kristen, I want to ask you about something that we came across today called Body Reset Diet.
Okay.
Have you heard of that?
I haven't.
I hadn't either. Now, apparently it was on Khloe Kardashian's Revenge Body, and it was started by...
the Kardashians.
You've got to love them. Love or hate.
I don't know why I'm laughing.
Celebrity trainer Harley Pasternak apparently was the one who created this, and it's all to do with resetting your body, so basically not working out. And it says, I gave up exercise for 2 weeks and got in the best shape of my life. Do you think this is one of those things that might catch on, that maybe it is quite a good idea to give your body a total rest and let it go back to its equilibrium, find its happy place, and then trick it into working harder again? Or do you think that's a bit of a fad, just carry on doing what you're doing?
Is there a diet that goes along with that? Or is that just working out?
So for the first 5 days, you eat 3 small super blend smoothies.
Oh, so you starve yourself.
No, hang on. Oh, well, yes, I suppose.
I mean, I'm hungry reading
it.
So
this was a girl who was saying that she normally eats by the 80-20 rule, which I think accidentally do.
That's what I do.
80% of the time, I'm really good. I'm really healthy. I eat lots of protein. I watch my macros. And then at the weekend,
I sort of
give up. But not giving up, because I think that's a negative term. I kind of just allow myself to have a bit of a treat. Otherwise, it can become too much, almost too... regimented, and you get a little bit bored. Yeah. So I think
there's
what she's trying to say
is,
rather than doing 5 days then 2 days, do like 6 months then 2 months, you know, so you're compiling in a wanna. I think you'd burn out, though.
It's good to rest your body. I think
it's little and often is better. What do you think? Because the question was originally for you.
Well, I always think that if you can't sustain it, then it's not a healthy diet. But this is a reset. I do think that resets are good. But I don't know enough about it to really comment on it. But I would say I personally don't count calories, and I never will, because I don't think that that's a healthy relationship.
Do you
with
watch
food?
Your macros, though?
No.
Do you not?
No.
I love it. I've got obsessed with macros.
Annoyingly, we've got about 30 seconds left. But that's...
Rachel's like, Olivia's off on one again. Stop, don't let her talk about the macros.
But I have so many questions that you don't count calories. I love that. Again, you don't need to, I suppose. If you're
eating the right food, you shouldn't. Yeah. You shouldn't have to.
Yeah, it all comes
and
down to longevity.
And her body is banging.
Yeah. I think we should end on that note. Her body's banging. Kristen Kay, Your Perfect Fitness TV. If people want to go, we'll put everything up on our Twitter anyway about that. But thank you so, so much for joining us. It's been fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you. And how do you pronounce your surname?
It's Wojciechowski. That's like, where's your house key?
Kristen Wojciechowski.
Thank you very much for joining us. This has been Pitch Talk. We'll see you next Tuesday. 4 to 5. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
This past hour, you've been listening to Pitch Talk with Rachel Downey and Olivia Cox. To listen again, simply go to foobarradio.com or our app where this episode and all past episodes are free to stream or download. Send all questions, comments or queries to pitch@foobarradio.com or tweet @foobarradio.